They're often worried about being too much. They're often worried about being themselves. What happens if I say this? What happens if I take this stance? What happens if people don't like it? It's like, the ones who like it will really fucking like it. And then the ones who don't, like, forgive and release. You know, like, you are not here to serve everyone. You're here to serve the ones who get it. The ones who are here for that message at that right time delivered by you.
Hello and welcome back to the podcast. We have Jill motherfucking Stanton in the house. Welcome, my bestie.
My goodness. I love just being here. Anytime I get to chat with you, win. But now make it a podcast recording and people get in on our like actual insanity together. Double win. Like, I'm here for it and I'm so happy we're recording and I love you so much, my fellow Enneagram mate.
I need to tell you, like, I met Jill and then it was like an explosion happened in the universe. Literally, it was like, Beel, where have you been my whole life? Holy shit.
Okay, but do you remember, like, really our first ever time hanging out? Like, obviously, it was at the dinner party that I hosted, but then it was at Tina's event and we got in trouble for talking so much.
We were just like,
she was like, the fuck?
We're like, you guys in the back, my guest speakers, shut up. We were both speaking at Tina's event, and then I'm sure we got Anita in trouble as well. Shout out, Anita. We love you.
Cool.
I know. Oh, my God.
Love that about Anita. Cool.
So Jill Stanton, for anyone that doesn't know, like, my face hurts and it's like 1 minute and 19 seconds in.
I know. It's going to be ridiculous. Brace yourself, guys.
I know. Get ready. Buckle your fucking seatbelts, okay? If you think I'm crazy, you got to see us together. It's the best. And I wish she was my neighbor, but my neighborhood would just explode, okay? So tell the people, Jill, who, like, what have you been doing? Where did you come from? What did you do? Where, Buckle on, Joe. I feel like I'm going to sing that song. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Oh,
take us back to the 90s dance hits, though.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So I'm Canadian, but I've lived all over the world, and I'm currently parked in Phuket, Thailand. Absolutely love it. I live in, like, Never Never Land for adults, but, like, in a positive way. So I've been in this space what feels like 100 years, but I got into the space in 2012. But I had also, like, I started a web TV show back in, this is going to sound insane, 2006. So that is like the days of MySpace, really. It was the year that Google bought YouTube. And so I had a web TV show called 20 something. Thank God I did it when you could erase stuff from the internet, because no one needs that out there right now. Like, I would be canceled for sure with all the sexy things that I revealed. Like, I would definitely be called a hoe these days.
Me too.
But I always knew that I was never meant to follow a traditional path, insert hashtag fucking entrepreneurship. Yeah. And just always hated being told what to do and couldn't ever imagine giving up any level of freedom or sovereignty to just have my life controlled by someone else. And so I knew that straight out of the gate, but it took me a long ass time to actually find my way in this. So I started in 2006, and that sounds ridiculous, except that web TV show amassed over 1 million views, like, back in the day. So I started cutting my teeth there. I learned how to speak to camera. I learned how to outline episodes. I started learning how to write for the web. And then I met Josh, I call him my husband. So he is my ex-husband, but we're very much on fantastic terms. Like, he's one of my favorite people, truly one of my best friends. So he's my husband. And I met him in 2009, and he really opened up my eyes to the world of online entrepreneurship. And so this sounds so ridiculous to say, but he was truly like my first ever mentor in this space. He taught me about email lists and traffic and SEO and writing for, you know, certain levels of visibility and how to create, like, really catchy videos. And this is, like, honestly, guys, we're talking about gaming the system of YouTube back in 2011, 2012, like, when you could rank for long tail keywords. Like, this is how early we got started, and it taught me so much. And so we had an affiliate business. And it was so funny because we were talking about starting our own businesses because we started talking about having a business together. We each had our own separate businesses. And I remember him floating the idea of us starting a business together. I was like, done, I'm in. What are we doing? And he's like, I feel like we should start an affiliate site. And I was like, sweet. Okay. What's an affiliate site? Like, I was just so green. And like I said, he taught me the ropes. And then that evolved into people asking us, how are we making money? Like, how are you guys traveling everywhere? What are you, drug dealers? And so then we started Screw the 9 to 5. And that really, it took us a few years to find our feet in that, but that really like exploded our trajectory. We built an amazing community. They called themselves the Scroopies, like screw groupies.
So good.
We just had such a cool thing. We had built such an amazing movement. And then we had our son and all of a sudden things started to feel a bit shaky. Like, do we want to keep doing this? Is this how we want to grow our business? Like, we had a membership at the time. I had no boundaries at the time. So I was just like constantly living in the membership community. But it was just like, I don't know, it was so beautiful for that time.
Yeah.
And then at the end of 2018, after we had had our son, we made the decision to close down everything that no longer served us. And that was really before people thought to do that kind of stuff, yeah, you know? Yeah. Like, these are the days of, like, Marie Forleo being on top and, like, the Amy Porterfields and the James Wedmores and the Stews and the Duncans and, you know, Derek Halpern and all of this kind of stuff. People weren't really shutting down proven offers that were making a ton of money. And I remember someone saying, like, aren't you scared of what's going to happen? And I was like, no. Like, this is, I'm doing what's true to me. We are doing what's true to us. And I just couldn't imagine. I know that we're going to talk about the power of authenticity, but I literally could not imagine trying to make money in a way that isn't congruent to who I wanted to be. I was just so fucking unavailable for it. You know what I mean? And it felt so deeply performative to try and pretend that we wanted any of this kind of stuff when deep down, I just felt like we were faking it. And I also felt like the people who were in our community deserved so much more than just like phoning it in from us. And so we hosted a goodbye party for our membership on New Year's Eve 2018. Everyone got to share their favorite memory. Like, this community was amazing. They called themselves the Scrammily. They threw me a baby shower. Like, they were so, it was just such a special time in our lives. And then we kicked off 2019 with like a blank slate. And in the first 8 to 12 weeks of 2019, we made all of 2018's revenue. And I concretely believe that that is because we truly went to bat for ourselves and we made a bold move in service of our alignment. And we really anchored into what was authentic and true for us. And because of that, it fucking magnetized people into our world in even bigger ways than we ever had previous to that.
Shit.
And then in 2019, once I had like blank space, I had like mental white space, in came the idea for Millionaire Girls Club. And I kind of sat on that for a minute because I just didn't believe in myself yet in the way that I could hold space for women doing millions of dollars each year. I was just like, nah, come on. That is not for me. Now I see that was like divine protection, because if I were to start MGC in 2019, my first event would have been 2020 and I would have been fucked. Shit. So I actually started at the end of 2020 and really started to kick it off in 2021. And that's where I went to a whole other level of my own clarity, my own self-belief, my own self-trust, my own authenticity, my own courage, and started to build my own thing for the first time. And then turns out I hate the business model of just running events. Now I combine all the coaching I was doing for the chicks in MGC, which is always typically identity and personal power. Because once you're at that level of doing a few mil a year, it's not like you need a lot of more strategy, you know, like you've solved that. What you need is deeper levels of personal power and a higher level of your identity. And so once that all started to click for me, that's when I started really starting to lean into that level of coaching, which is where my JS brand comes into play now.
JS. Okay, so first of all, I have to tell you, everyone listening, me and Jill were hanging out and we were at her dinner party and I was like, I love her. She's the best. This is so great. And I don't know when it was, if it was when I saw you in America, in Nashville, or if it was in the Gold Coast. No, it wasn't the Gold Coast. We were knee deep by then. But Must
have been we were deeply in love by then. Sorry, Hamish.
So we were hanging out in Nashville, and I feel like you said something, and then I was like, pyong, and it was like something pinged in my head, and I was like, oh my God. Oh my God, I listened to your podcast at Amy Porterfield. So it was so fucking weird because I didn't know, you know, when you meet people, you don't know the whole story and everything that they've done.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that sounds cool. Like, cool story, bro, but I don't know anything. But I was like, wait, you said.
But I don't know anything.
I don't know anything about you. Nice to meet you. But then I was like, I feel like I've heard something. And then I was listening to your voice and I was like, oh my fucking God. So there was more than one episode of Amy Porterfield's podcast where you and Josh were on. And I feel like there was one where you guys were talking about how you fucking made a Facebook group of like 55,000 people. Yeah. And I was like, bitch, I listened to that podcast. And I was like, how the hell do you build a group with 55,000 people? And everyone listening, it was so crazy because I was like, oh my God, you're the lady that I was listening to on the podcast. And then it was like, bing, bong, bing. Okay, click. Hilarious. Like fucking wild that that was the journey. And then you guys let go of that business. And I love what you said. And we're going to talk about it today about the alignment and authenticity. And like, I'm not going to do some shit that's not going to make me fully happy and fully fulfilled.
No, man.
Even though to the external world, it's working. You're making money. I mean, who's closing shit now? All kinds of people. Everybody's letting go of shit that doesn't serve them. So now, Jill, today, what you do now, who are you helping now? And what is the part about personal power and identity that you think is needed and missing right now in our fucking business landscape for women?
Well, it's 90% of the game. It's, I get that everyone thinks that strategy is important, but any strategy works when you are in your power going for it. And it's not about the strategy, it's about who's running the strategy. And if your self-concept and your self-image isn't dialed in, and if you do not believe in yourself, if you do not have the self-trust and the self-belief to show up as your authentic self, to show up as your most powerful self, to take the kind of swings that you know you want to take, to make the kind of fucking courageous moves that you know match your future, no amount of strategy is going to fucking matter because you're going to sabotage it left, right, and center because you do not have the internal state or the internal identity that matches who you want to become. And so I help a lot of women who, I always say I help the, like, I help activate the future millionaires, icons, and bad bitches of this space to go to their next level of growth, power, and success because so many of them are running their businesses unconsciously, fucking strategy hopping all over the motherfucking place, looking for the thing that clicks, and they don't realize that they're the thing that makes it all click. And so what I love doing is working with women who want to win, the ones who want to be the stars of their industry, the ones who want to do big shit, the ones who don't mind being misunderstood by, you know, everyone else who's chasing mediocrity. I want to work with the ones who want to show themselves what they're fucking made of. And that relies on a deep level of personal power and an elevated identity, because without that, you will, one, most certainly blend into the noise because you're not going to say anything worth listening to, nothing disruptive. You're going to make safe, small moves, and you're not going to show yourself what you're made of because you're just going to cool yourself back down when you feel like you're getting to be too big or too much or it's all happening too fast. It's like, no, that's the sign that you're on the right path. You just need the internal state that matches that.
Oh, and can you see if I had the horn sound? Bow, 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 bow. It's somewhere on my fucking desktop. But then my shit will explode and then we'll have camera issues. Me and Jill are not techie, but we are working this thing out, friends, okay? So please give us a shout out in the comments as to how great we look on camera right now because it's hard.
For real. Don't even ask me about ISO settings.
Hey, what is your aperture? It's like, fuck, I don't know. We're going to need to go on YouTube. But can you see if you're
ask
listening
Gemini
and watching how much I love this woman and why? Because you are a firecracker. You're a fucking activator. You're an amplifier. When you see women coming in right now to you, your clients, those that are booking with you, joining your calls, coming to your programs, and even the ones that were, like, you were working with the top women in their industry and they were coming to your retreats. So you've been holding high level, incredible, the women all of you guys like on Instagram and social media that you love, like the superstars, that's who Jill holds space with and supports. So what is their biggest problem? Like, why aren't we as women, you know, stepping into our fucking power, saying what we want? What are you seeing when you're coaching and sharing and teaching, like with the inside of women's brains? What's going on?
They're often worried about being too much. They're often worried about being themselves. what happens if I say this? What happens if I take this stance? What happens if people don't like it? It's like, the ones who like it will really fucking like it. Yeah. And then the ones who don't, like, forgive and release. You know, like, you are not here to serve everyone. You're here to serve the ones who get it. The ones who are here for that message at that right time delivered by you. And I think just, well, I think this is kind of starting to slow down because not everyone, but a lot of people got the shit kicked out of them in 2025, right? And so a lot of them are coming into 2026 being like, I give so many less fucks than I used to give. You know what I mean? They're just like, it was like it stripped away all the like white knuckle behavior that so many of us were caught up in, trying to control people's perceptions, trying to make sure we didn't rock the boat. I feel like during the time of like the COVID bubble, when everyone was fucking policing what everyone else said, I feel like we're starting to watch that happen again, but people are less susceptible to it. And so they're standing in their convictions, they're standing their ground, they're standing behind their beliefs and their values. Mm. And I think so often, I mean, I've served some people who are like Beyonce of their industry, you know, and they believed that if they were insert thing here, that it would just be like a tsunami of refunds or being called out or being canceled again or whatever it is. But like, really what I help women do is create this baseline where they're just uncancelable. It doesn't matter if people, the only way someone can cancel you is if you let them.
Mm-hmm.
Truly, I believe that.
Yeah.
Like, if you are unavailable to their outrage and you're just like, okay, bro, don't pay attention to me then. Like, you can literally just unfollow, and I could just be someone in your feed that you no longer follow. Yep. It can be as simple as that.
Yeah.
You do not have to work with me. You do not have to follow me. You know, you do not have to buy my stuff. And so I think people are slowly but surely coming to that awareness of like, actually, it deeply serves me to stand behind my convictions or to be convicted in my values or in what I stand for or what I'm willing to tolerate or what I'm not willing to tolerate. And all of that work is the work of personal power and self-leadership. To be able to hold yourself through the projections of other people online. You know, like, perfect example, I'm running a thing called Resurrected. It's in like 2 days from now, right? And so I'm running traffic for that. And I literally just have one video where I'm just, it's like a selfie video, just walking. And this chick commented on it, like, explain why you feel the need to, why you're so insecure that you need to show your boobs in order to market. First off, literally had a shirt that was like up to here. Like, no boobs in the shot at all. And she's like, why are you so insecure? And I just wrote back, it ain't me who's insecure, babe.
Yeah. Ain't me, babe.
It is like, it's literally not me who's insecure. It's you.
Yeah.
And once you can see that it's their projections and their reflection of their own self-worth that most people are pushing at you, then you're like, oh, turns out I don't actually care as much then, because I can't control what someone else might think, say, or believe about me.
Mm.
And so why not just be my fullest self? Because then I'm going to magnetize the people in who get it. Like, perfect example, Erica, you. Like, literally, you and I are a lot for a lot of people. We are not meant to be, like, for everyone. Right? We're Enneagram 8s. Like, we're big energy.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a manifestor in human design. Like, we are meant to shake shit up. So, of course, we're not meant for anyone. Or just everyone.
Yeah,
and or just anyone.
Permission for you to really, and I think, you know, people haven't spent enough time going, who am I? Who do I want to be? What's my voice in my head? Not everybody else. And then when someone goes, ooh, I don't like coriander, and I love fucking coriander, so I'll just be coriander, right? Like, right? We're obsessed with coriander, right? Little mini coriander tattoos we should get on our tramp stamps. It's like, we love coriander. You know? And it makes you like, what is this, babe? It's coriander. Cilantro, you know, and it's like, oh, I don't like it. It's like, great. Like, how awesome that you could be who you are and allow people to go, you're not for me. But to trick people into pretending to be vanilla, one size fits all, I'm like, I have neutrality. Then someone figures you out and then goes, oh, actually, you like this? What? I didn't know you. Like, then they feel like deceived by you, and you are kind of manipulating and deceiving people to like you so that you don't feel uncomfortable with going, fuck you. I don't care if you like me or not. I'm gonna be me.
I mean, think about all the people that you truly follow online. Right? And not just you, E, like everyone listening to this, think about the women that you, like, you can't stop watching, listening to, or buying from. I guarantee they are not watering themselves down in service of pleasing you. The ones we are so magnetized to are authentically themselves. They are in their own power. They are doing what they want to do. And that's why we can't look away.
Yeah.
Because most people do not allow themselves to be that or do that or show up that way, which is why we're all like moths to a flame when someone does show up like that.
Yeah.
And you can see it. It's like all the shit, all the performative nonsense from, you know, fuck man, like 2016 up until 2022, just 2023 maybe, just no longer works. Like,
yeah,
like that. That's done, guys. Yeah. Like the performative nice girl shit, that's done.
It's so
over.
Done.
People are, they do not want that anymore. They want to know who you are. They want to know what you stand for in insert thing here. It doesn't have to be politics or current events, but in a way that is relevant to them. They want to know that they believe that you are who you say you are. That's what we are coming into the era where you have to be who you say you are.
Mm.
Otherwise, you're just like, you're truly cannibalizing your own business.
Yeah. And you know what? It brings us to the topic of authenticity. And I want to say what you just said. I'm lucky, right? Like I'm very lucky and or people are scared. I don't know, but I don't get trolls on my social media. We obviously get trolls on Facebook ads because they're on Facebook. I don't know what happens there. But like with my audience of 120,000 whatever people, I don't get trolls. I don't get nasty comments. Blessed. Like my audience is amazing and great, right? But I said a long time ago when I decided to put my face on the internet, like I'm gonna get trolls. People are gonna talk shit. They're gonna hate. They're gonna dislike this, that, and the other. They're gonna talk all kinds of shit about me as a mother, my children. I'm just ready. Like I'm not looking for it, but I'm ready if they come. I'm not gonna be like, how dare you troll me? What? Like you wanna be a public figure or you wanna put your face on the internet? Like you can't hide behind a faceless account. People will say they hate your hair, they hate your pink, whatever the fuck, right? So I think for me, I've always looked forward to it and been like, it's going to be a thing that happens, but it doesn't. Talk to me about authenticity is a fucking buzzword. And we've been talking about that in our WhatsApp. You should hear our WhatsApp. It's the best place to be. We're just having the chats. But what, like, it's apparently trending, authenticity, if in case you didn't know.
Isn't that hilarious? It's like vulnerability, like FAUX.
Yeah.
Faux.
Yeah.
It's like that. It's like, when someone's like, authenticity is the new business strategy, I'm like, you've already missed the point.
Yeah.
Like, you've already not been authentic in your pursuit of authenticity. You're like, okay, I've heard that it works in business now, so now I'm going to do it. It's like, bro, you're done. You're toast.
Yeah, you missed it.
It's like, it takes courage. First off, so authenticity is my second top value. My top values are courage, authenticity, connection, audacity, and I could go on, but whatever, right? So it takes courage to be authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And authenticity is how you breed connection. I concretely believe that. And if you truly want to create an audience of people who get you, believe it in what you are sharing, whatever, it's like you don't have to build a business that has a community element to it. But if you are building a personal brand that has some sort of audience element to it, some sort of community element to it, then it is in your best interest to allow them to see who you truly are. Because I promise you right now, they do not want the facade. They can see straight through it.
Mm-hmm.
People can smell that shit from a mile away now. And that's why people like you are so fucking refreshing. Because most people can't do it.
Yeah.
Yep. And own it the way that you can. Perfect example. Like, this is the perfect example of you offline. So when we were getting ready for your book launch party and we were at that Melbourne market and you were like, I don't know, hemming and hawing about something. And this dude was behind us and I was like, he wants to like blah, blah. And you're like, I don't give a fuck what he wants. And I was like, oh my God. Like, it was like yet another layer of that. Level of permission coming into my life, which you have been such a beautiful amplifier me, because I think before I made, like before 2025, yes, I was like, quote unquote, authentically myself, but not in a loud kind of way. Now I allow myself to like stand behind my positions, I've allowed myself to start sharing more of that kind of shit, you know, which is, again, I feel as though you've been a beautiful amplifier for that, of that for me, because you are so yourself, so yourself, like who you are online is who you are offline.
My God,
and I deeply, deeply appreciate people like that because I feel as though I'm also that. Like, I can't imagine managing two different personalities. That's way too exhausting.
No way.
And people don't want it.
No.
And you'll never have the connection you say you want.
No. And you know what sucks is, here's the thing, like Hamish is more introverted, right? But lately he's been more outroverted. So I'm like, I feel like I need to stop saying that because he is not the man that I once met, where I was more quiet and didn't really like the camera, didn't really like being with people. Now he's done something where he's, or we've done something together where he's shifting and he can be with people. He can say like, shut the fuck up, blah, blah, blah. He's got a bit of fuego and he used to be very like, and sweet. And now I can take him to the United States, you know, like, I'm not scared he's going to get mugged. Like I think he'll beat somebody up. Like, hey, Mish has got some fire, you know? I'm like, you are sprinkling Puerto Rico all over you. All right, I like it. But I say that because he is not interested so much in being like, hey, come and talk to me. Come and take a photo with me. Hey, let's talk. Like, he wouldn't stand in the line to sign 700 books. Like, I will stand and hug and write a novel in it. Like, I love that shit. But he's not online. Literally, he has not posted. I do collaborative posts with the man because he never posts. He doesn't have any stories. Mm-hmm. So he's not like leading you on to think that he's so cool online, but then you meet him in real life and he's got no personality. But
when, 100%.
When you follow someone, and I think I didn't know that this was a thing until someone said to me, oh my God, you're like exactly you are online in person. And I was like, yeah. Well, hold on.
Imagine.
Like, yeah. The amount of people that I meet that like, they look, and I've seen it, and you've seen it, and you go out to meet these women empowering women, massive people that run massive women's only networks, and you're like, oh, you're going to be dope as fuck because you're about women. Mm-hmm. And you go up, and you feel this energetic, electric fence, like, don't fucking get next to me.
It's like dry toast. You're like,
yeah, like, I want to connect with you through my electric fence. And because we do the work we do, we're like, oh, who hurt you? Like, fuck, we got to heal that because it caps our impact, or it gives a facade that we say we want to help people and empower women, but only some women, only the women I know, only the cool women, only the whatever women, not all women. Like, if you're a nobody with 400 followers, I'm not going to talk to you. And it's like, why the fuck not? Like, maybe that lady with 400 followers needs to talk to you. Like, that drives me bananas. And so I think that the more we can be who we are behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, and it leads to fucking freedom. And you're only free. Yes. When you're free from yourself, you're not chained internally, then speak to that. Because I know you do a lot with the identity, with like the thoughts, the beliefs, like the cage people put themselves in, and they're not allowed to be X, Y, Z. So then they are trapped internally, and then people feel that externally.
100%. And I just think it's like the energy of liberation. When you give yourself the permission to really just, it sounds like it should not be this radical to just be yourself.
I feel like you need
but
that as
for
a course.
Some reason
liberation.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
That's one.
When I like when Josh and I separated, that was the energy that we made this move in, was a energy of liberation. It's like we liberated ourselves from something that was complete. Our marriage had completed its chapter. Like it was very clear to us. And so we made that decision in service of liberation, of like, I love you enough that I want you to go live your best next chapter. And I want you to want that for me as well. And he does. So like liberation, not even just in a marriage sense or in relationships, but in who you are and how you allow yourself to be perceived.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main thing. People are just trying to control other people's perceptions and they think that's strategic. It's not. It's actually fucking manipulative. Which people aren't typically available to hear because they're like, I'm not being manipulative. Mm-hmm. If you are trying to put out there a certain persona that is not aligned with who you are, I'm sorry, but that is emotionally manipulative. You might not want to hear it, but it's exactly like people pleasing. People think that people pleasing is nice. No, it's actually emotional manipulation, trying to control how someone experiences you.
Totally.
Trying to control what they think, say, or believe about you.
Yeah. It's mean as fuck. Like, I always talk about, like, be kind, say no. Like, don't say yes to be nice, because then you're like yes. And then you're like, this bitch, doesn't she know that I... No, she doesn't know, because you said yes. So you're actually...
Yeah, exactly.
You're actually mean when you say yes. If you said no, you'd be nice to that person. And it's wild. I think we were talking about this, Jill, because I think right now, 2026, what we will be seeing is more storytelling. We'll be seeing more people trying to share themselves and share their air quotes authentic behavior online and all of that jazz. And I think I would love for you as the listener, the watcher of this, to be aware, like start to work on your own connection with yourself and your intuition. And I want to ask you, Jill, like when you work with women, how can we help the listener to like be more discerning? It must be hard. Like we're here now, but we weren't always here. I dated a bunch of dumbasses. Mm-hmm. I did some shit with some dumb men. I was taken for a ride, you know, my responsibility, but I was really not watching and not looking and not being discerning. And none of it was coming from internal power, personal power. Like you say, I didn't have any, I didn't think I had any, I was looking out for the answers. And so to anyone that's listening, that's like, yeah, but how the fuck do I know who to pay, who to work with, who to follow, who to listen to? How can I tell if someone's being fake or real? Like, what are some things that you can talk to on that?
I feel like especially if it's a mentor that you're going to hire, I feel like having a conversation with them. Like, I feel like, especially if it's a high ticket package, you absolutely have the right to ask questions. Mm-hmm. And also, I imagine the people, I think we're coming to a time, or at least I hope we're coming to a time where pedestaling coaches is over. Like, please. It's just, you know, like, it doesn't matter. Well, it does matter who you're working with. But what I'm trying to say is like the cool girl mentors, like we don't just have to do it for posturing or positioning. Yeah. I encourage anyone who's listening to this to find the people who match your values, or to find the people who are where you say you want to be. And on the flip side of that, I feel like you have to know your values. Mm-hmm. Like I would be really doing like, what are the virtues how do I want to say this? It's like, think about who you want to be this time in 2027. Okay. Like, what does she look like? What does she believe? How does she operate? What are the characteristics or the ways of being, the virtues, that guide her behavior or that guide who she is in business, in life, in her relationships? Like, what are those ways of being? So get clear on that and then start leading yourself through those virtues now and look for the mentors who either amplify that for you or can help bring it out of you. I feel like that is where we have to start looking for mentorship. It's not just like who's worked with who or who's made this much money. You never know someone's back end. You never know, like when they're talking about like all these fucking income screenshots with like no context, that shit doesn't matter. It is so easy to fake that stuff.
Yeah. AI, baby.
Income Nano screenshots banana. With, yeah, man. Like it just doesn't need to be the deciding factor for you. Like someone who makes a lot of money does not mean that they're happy on the inside, or it doesn't mean that they keep that much money, or it doesn't mean that they're doing it in a way that feels morally aligned with how you would want to do it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And so you have to look beyond just like surface level, quote unquote, proof or surface level marketing or sales tactics and start to find the people who you feel call you forward in an aligned way, who match who you say you want to be and have the kind of lifestyle, relationships, family life. If you have kids or a husband or whatever, like find the people who match or are aligned with who you want to believe or who you want to be or what you want to create, do, have, and experience. Like who matches the kind of impact that you want to have? Whose style of coaching matches how you want to be held accountable or how you want to be activated or how you want to be supported in your business?
Yeah.
No more of this like cool girl shit. That stuff is so fucking over. It's like old world level decision making.
I saw something, I don't know, somebody was doing a trend. You know how Gary Vee is always like my predictions for 2026 and like people were doing that. And someone was like, the lack of relatability is going to go out the window. So like, we're not saying like, if you love, I was in a mentorship and it was really a cult. And the man was like private jets and cigars and flying private and all this. And like me and Hamish didn't know what we wanted. Cause like you said, we literally never sat down and thought about what do we value?
Yes.
Who are we? What do we want in the future? Is that important to us? Do we like that? Would we do that? And then he started treating people really weirdly. And it was always about like cigars and private flying. And then one day he did a session where he was like, you know, what do you spend the most time on? That's what you value. And we're in the session and we looked at each other like, I'm always with you, motherfucker. Like, we're always hanging out together. We love each other. Like, I value you. He's like, yeah, me too. I'm like, where the fuck is the private jet and the cigars? And like, I don't give a fuck about that shit. And so his own session made us realize we actually do not value anything you value. We don't know why the fuck we're here. It was like an awakening moment. And from then, we've always, every 6 months, we relook at our values. And listeners, y'all know if you listen to the show, we talk about values, we rewrite them, we redo them. When a family gets sick, like my mom was sick, we had to shift again. And I was like, we value this, but fuck, right now my mom needs me and we're going to value looking after her and doing that. And so like, I think if people are, those of you that are listening, if you can get in touch with yourself, like slow down, take a break, back away, not your kids, not your fucking clients, not money, not the gram. You, right? Like spend some time with you to be like, who the fuck am I? And maybe you can't hear your own voice because maybe your family's voice is in there or, you know, the city you grew up in, or the religion, your background, your culture. And then it's like, wait, what the fuck do I want? And some of us, some women have not ever been able to ask themselves what they want or listen to that. And so I love that you shared that because from that place, you will start to be in touch with you and then you'll have a radar. Like I know we have a radar. Like I just feel someone, even on Zoom, I'm like, I feel like there's a barrier. I feel like they're off. I feel like, I don't know. And it's, I'm so grateful. Like I wasn't always like that. So you can learn it. But like now I'm like, I can vibe and I'm like, nah. And someone's like, why not? I'm like, there's something not right. And I can feel it. And then 6 months later, they're like, that person ended up doing this dirty shit. And I was like, yep, there it is. Whoop, there it is. Like I knew it. You know,
it's don't ever have to have like the logical reasoning behind it. You're like, I don't know. I just feel it. Yeah. Like I feel like something's off. I feel like I'm not meant to work with them. And that can be enough. Like that can be your reason. It's like, I don't know why. I just don't feel like I could open up to that person.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
And it's lovely you said like cool girl / mean girl. Like you also don't want, I don't want people listening to me to ever feel like I am better than them or they're not where I am. And therefore they need to like grovel at my feet or they need to make themselves be, you know, a certain level to then get access. Like I'll fucking send voice notes all day. I'm on Instagram all the time. People are like, you probably won't get this and I'm sure you'll never read this. And I'm like, hi, I'm voicing you. I'm reading this. Like, thank you for taking the time. They're like, oh my God, you responded. I can't believe it. And I'm like, I can't believe you listened to our podcast. So if you're listening, make sure you tag us. And then you shared it on your audience or you voiced me or you left a comment. Like, I can't believe you did that. You don't fucking know me. Like that to me is like, what a gift. Like, I don't know. I feel like it says a lot about your care and support for people, how you treat your audience, how you treat your clients, you know, how you create 100%. Content. Like, fuck, the one thing we all have is our life, our story, the way we see things, the experiences we've had. Like, that's the only thing that's different. Like, Jill, you've done so much. You've built so much. I've never fucking built a Facebook with 55,000 people. I have no fucking idea. But you have your life experience and I have mine. And if we were going to bring something to the table, that's all we're going to bring. We're going to bring our difference, our opinions, our experience, the way we see the world, our stories, like how we grew up, like the way we parent. Like that's all native to Jill and native to me. And you have something native to you. But if you won't fucking unpack it and show it, then we're going to sound like everyone else. Like you said in the beginning, it's so fucking important.
Well, and I think that often people don't do this work for themselves because it can be very emotional. And I don't know, people are scared to feel their emotions. But if you can really allow yourself to remember, it's just an emotion and I can move through it. Like it's not going to take me down. I feel like that is yet another level of your own energetic, emotional liberation because you're no longer at the mercy of your fucking feelings. So many people wait for permission from their feelings to do the big shit that they want to do. And it's like, what if I just made that decision in service of alignment, in service of courage, in service of becoming who I keep saying I want to be? You moving into your next big era of like who you say you want to be, that is not meant to be just like some easy breezy process. Like you have to forge who you are in service of becoming her. No, telling the stories about yourself to yourself that are in support of your expansion.
Yes. Good stories.
Making courageous moves before you feel ready for it, before the space feels more predictable. You know, like I feel like a lot of people are like waiting for the space to be quote unquote predictable again. Release that. Who the fuck knows when that's going to happen? Just stop waiting for it to feel like it's gone back to normal. It's not. Yeah. It's shifted. That was a COVID bubble. Yeah, man. Like that 2020 to 2024, that was a small moment in time online. And I feel like we're just watching the purge of people who didn't actually have staying power.
Mm-hmm.
And people are making that mean that, oh my God, maybe I'm not cut out for it. No, no, no. If you're still in the game, if you're still taking swings, if you're still making money, you do have staying power. All we're asking for you is to have the courage to show yourself what you're made of. Have the courage to move through the hard, challenging times, because that's where you develop yourself. That's where you forge your leadership. Mm. That's where your identity elevates, because you start releasing the things that no longer serve you in support of who you want to be.
Hell yes.
If you were already the version of you who was killing it, you'd be there, but you're not. So that shows me you have stuff to do. Mm. You have things to release, things to forgive, things to allow yourself to become, moves you want to make, decisions you need to make, actions you need to take. If you aren't where you want to be, then you're in the like river of misery is what I call it. So where you are versus where you want to be.
Mm.
And in the middle of there is the river of misery, where you have to develop your leadership. You have to develop your courage. You have to develop your grit and your determination, your tenacity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have to become a different version of yourself if you want to create another level of success. Otherwise, you'd already have it.
Yeah, fuck. And we don't want to do that. Messy. I just need to see if this air horn works. No, it didn't work. God damn it. I really, really want to play my air horn.
I would have been so impressed by this. I feel like you need it on your phone and just put it into your microphone.
Wait a second. I feel like it can work. No.
Did you hear that?
Damn it. Insert it when I make really good points.
It was on mute this whole time. All these Zoom calls this that I bitch. Had that I wanted
this
to do.
This fucking bitch with her stupid shit. Air horn muting.
Remember, that was like my like call to fame on Clubhouse. I was like, I make air horn sounds.
Clubhouse. Oh my God.
Ridiculous, Jill. Ridiculous.
It's like,
oh my God.
The teens version of Periscope. Or the 20s version of Periscope.
It was like a little MySpace moment as well. Like, it was like, where did that go? It was so bad.
Totally.
So the internet's not going anywhere, obviously. The online space, we talk a lot on this podcast about personal brand and about building your brand. And one of the core elements, and I firmly believe people are happy to have a business, but they don't want to step into personal brand because it's them and it's their opinions, it's their face, it's their rejection, it's their, literally you have to have an idea or a thought or opinion in your industry about what you speak about, or else you just sound like everyone else, right? And mm-hmm. So it's, I can't tell you how important it is, what Jill just said, of like you having your personal power, understanding who you are, and doing your work. And I remember when we had the sisterhood, because I too closed a program, Jill, that made a shitload of money. And
yes, you did.
Made a lot of people unhappy. And they were like, it was lifetime access. I'm like, the lifetime of the fucking program, the lifetime of the program is done, baby. Like, that's what lifetime access means. It's done. We're done. But in that space, I really remember the core thing of why women didn't want to join or took so long to join is they were like, I don't want to open up the past because I've already done that. It's already over. So I'd like to just sweep it under the rug and keep moving like it never happened. And if I go back there, air quotes, like they have a fucking time machine, then I'm going to be back there again. Can you talk to that? Because obviously that's impossible, but maybe someone listening thinks, fuck Jill, I don't want to go into my shit because it's going to mess me up again, or it's going to slow me down, or I'm going to be just how I was when I was depressed or in my shit.
Yeah. How do I want to say this? One, I understand that. Like, I get that. I understand people's trepidation. And look, I'm not trained in trauma, blah, 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 anything like that. So I don't want to pretend that I know what it's like to have deep or big levels of capital T trauma, and, you know, how that might impact emotional states, nervous systems, mental state, whatever. But I feel as though I went through my own, well, Sydney, you and I both work with Sydney, and like way back in the day, I was telling her about this experience that I had. for like 10 plus years where I was just like mercilessly bullied by just different chicks over 10 plus years. Like I had 30 chicks barricade me in my car. Like people would spray paint Jill Clark as a slut on the walls at school. Wow. Like think about the brick. Like that is some bold action to actually spray paint on a school wall.
Wow, gangsters. Oh yeah. My God.
Yeah. So, okay. So I remember telling Sydney this and I was like, it's not that big of a deal. Like I'm past it. And she was like, that's traumatic. And I was like, is it? Like, is it?
Hell yeah.
And I remember her being like, that is capital T trauma. And I was like, nah, no way. Capital T trauma is like, I would say the stuff that you've been through is fucking bolded capital T trauma. You know what I mean? And it took me a minute to like even let it land that that was a form of trauma, what I had been through. But there's not one part of me that wanted to shove it under the rug because it was actually deeply impacting how I was showing up.
Yeah.
Until I became aware of it, I was acting out of those subconscious triggers, which is not allowing myself to be too big because I might get attacked. And I remember Josh dropped such a genius line on me when, I can't remember what I was gearing up for, but it was definitely in my JS brand. So my third brand that I had started and like with him. And I said, you don't understand. He was saying something like, I don't know, something around the power of being big. And I was like, you do not understand. When I am big, I get attacked. Just like when I was in high school and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I guarantee you the reason you got attacked is because you weren't big. And I was like, like what? You know, like he was like, because you didn't stand up for yourself, because you weren't all of yourself, that's why you got attacked, because they thought you were weak and you played into it. And that, like, if I wasn't open to processing that, if I wasn't open to seeing where those threads of whether you want to call it trauma or just wounding or whatever, if I wasn't open to processing that, I would still be in my performative energy trying to be big instead of just being big. Because most people don't allow themselves to process what's gone on for them. And so they act in more performative energy, thinking that this is who they should be versus just allowing themselves to be big. I don't have to pretend to be big. I am big. And so you don't have to pretend to be confident. You can just be confident. You know what I mean? You don't have to pretend to be audacious. Look at me. I'm going to go be audacious. You can just be it. You know what I mean? It's simply a decision to embrace and own more of who you already are. If you desire those things, if you want to be that, that's because it's already inside you.
Totally.
You just have to turn the dial up on it.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. But most people, like I was saying, wait for permission from their feelings in order to feel like now's the right time. And there will never be that moment.
No.
And so as you do this identity work, your identity is simply just like the beliefs you hold, the stories you believe to be true about yourself, like how you see yourself, the things that you believe to be true about yourself, the actions you take, the kind of risks you take, how you, you know, move through your world, your values, the things you prioritize, like all the decisions you make, the actions you take, all of that, that's your identity. And if you aren't where you want to be, then you have to look at where you aren't showing up in service of who you say you want to be and just allowing yourself to be that. Just turning up the dial on it, getting on a new frequency that aligns with that. So many people are trying to be magnetic. That, no.
Yeah.
You just are magnetic.
Or trying
you
to be.
You are authentic. Magnetic when you stop trying to be magnetic. You are authentic when you stop trying to be authentic.
Yeah.
Because that's the energy of proving energy.
Yes.
That's the energy of performance. And that is a that is incongruent with the embodiment of it.
Totally. And like, who do you have to prove it to? If you believe it, then you don't have to prove it. And there was a time where I was talking about like, it's not confidence, it's freedom. Because I do think, because I talk about confidence, queen of confidence, people think, oh, you're so confident. I'm like, no. Over the years, all that's happened, and like when I met you and when you met me, and it was like, I just feel free. Like some days I am quiet.
You feel that way to be around.
That's it. You know, I feel free. Like, and I feel giving. I feel abundant. I feel full. So like everything about my energy falls over my cup and pours into people. Like I'm just like, I feel like this self, like a little fucking self-generating energizer bunny, like, what? Like, you know, we can chill and then we can be like, bah, and then we can be in our fucking pajamas with no makeup on. And I'm still going to be like, hey, good morning.
Literally my favorite way to be.
You know, it's like we were in the Gold Coast watching whales. That was the best.
Yeah.
that was such a good day. That's like a core
that
moment.
That was such
like,
a good.
They were fucking
whales.
That was
whales. Such a good one.
We were in a condo and there were whales out of the window of Jill's room.
Oh.
And we were like, hold on. Is that a fucking whale? Like zooming in.
But like Erica, just imagine. I feel like everyone who listens to you probably imagines the octave at which she was screaming. It was like so it was like fucking dolphins could hear it. That's how high it was.
Trying to communicate with the whales across the street, Jill, being like, come over, guys. But yeah, it was like it's freedom. And you know, when you are, I love what you said, Jill, because when you are who you are in the moment. Who you feel like today. Tomorrow you might feel like this, and today you feel like this, and the next day you feel how you feel. When you can be that, there's this like loosening of your hands control. And the tightening and the has to be like this and rigid. This like rigidness goes down and it like is so nice to be around. And then people feel like, oh, I want to come over. I want to talk to you. It's warm. It's like, hey, what's up? It's not try hard. It's not, I'm so cool. And look, I used to fucking, like, I saw it as like a filter. During COVID, I wore eye contacts, blue eye contacts, because I love them.
And
I had a crazy friend who always wore crazy contacts. She had like tats on her face. She definitely inspired my fashion sense, that's for sure. Because I was always like, I can't wear that. Then I was like, fuck it, I want to wear blue contacts. And obviously, they weren't my eyes. You could see they were blue contacts. But I wore them. And then I would had these filters that I would wear. And like, I remember looking in the mirror during COVID being like, oh, where's the bitch from Instagram? This is not her. And I was like, whoa, like it distorted me so much. I like took my contacts off. I decided not to do, I still do a Paris filter. Hello. But I was
hello, obviously.
Of course. But then I was like, it was my own. And
we're
I'm
in our 40s for fuck's
bitch,
sakes.
Come on, we got a little bit of something. But like no shade, you're fucking whatever filters y'all got to do, get your ass on the gram, use the filters. Okay. Enjoy your life. But for me,
I have a filter.
Yeah. But for me, I was like, ooh, I was feeling like it was giving me an inauthentic something. And I was just like, whoa, I don't like this. What is this? And it was so funny because I started to show up and then I would see people talk shit about people wearing filters. And then I would kind of be like, no, hold on. Like, we're saying be authentic, be who you are. But like, if it takes you putting on a filter, because that's what you need to do to show up on Instagram and share your business and talk about your perspective and do your thing, like, fucking do that. Like, we're not saying, you know, like do what you need to do to get yourself out there, but like be free. Like the more free, the less weight and shit that can be on your shoulders, the less expectation, the less you should, the less you should be this and this is how to do it. It's like, actually, this is what's going to cut through on the internet. Don't fucking be like everyone else. Literally, please. Everything everyone else is doing, fucking do the opposite and don't do that
100%.
Shit. Like,
it's like, sovereignty, because I fucking want to.
Because I want to.
Like, that can be because why are you doing that? Because it no longer matches who I want to be. So I'm stopping it. Why are you doing that? Because I fucking want to. Why are you starting that? Because I feel called to. Why are you closing that? Because it's no longer aligned with how I want to grow or how I want to run my business. Because I fucking want to. Why? Yeah.
Mind your neck.
Because.
Yeah.
Because I'm making this choice for me. You don't have to like it. I love it.
100%.
It could be as simple as that. I feel like so many, I know that I did this, so I can only speak for myself. I outsourced the direction of so many things in my life to other people who I thought, quote unquote, knew better or were smarter than me. Me thinking I wasn't smart has been a belief that I uncovered probably in the last like 3 years. Very new. Bro, I'm 44. Okay. So I probably uncovered this for myself like maybe when I was 40. Now, because of that, this bled into so many areas of my life. Like, oh my God, if I could even just like, I had a TV show offer, denied it because I was like, no way. I'm not smart enough for that. I got a book offer, denied that. This was 2016 because I'm not smart enough. So many things. Like I didn't start coaching on my own I had Screw the 9 to 5 from 2013 up until 2020. And I never taught a single thing on my own. Wow. 7 years of never doing anything on my own because I literally said on our old podcast in coaching calls, Josh is the smart one. I'm the entertainment. It's fucking embarrassing to even say that because I would say that publicly to my clients of Josh is a smart one. I remember this is 2021 and Amy Porterfield hired our team for like our paid bootcamp kind of stuff. And Josh was working with her team and she said, where's Jill? And her chick who was managing this at the time was like, oh, we just work with Josh. And she said to me, I was so surprised that you weren't involved in that. And I was like, no, but he's a smart one. Mm. Like, he's who you want to work with. And she's like, what? Mm. Like, no, I want to work with you. You know what I mean? So it's been so many, like, how big I've allowed myself to be, how opinionated I've allowed myself to be, the programs I've allowed myself to coach on or sell, the opportunities I've went after, the asks I've made, all of that was marred by me believing I wasn't smart. And so because of that, I did not take the risks or make the moves or take the actions that would be in alignment with someone who believed they were smart. And so you have to be able to, or you have to be open to examining where you might be outsourcing your own inner knowing or your skills or your own brilliance because you think that other people have a better answer or a better skill set or are better equipped than you are. But the ones who truly want to hear from you, they want to hear your perspective. They want to hear your take on things. They want to listen to your content. They want you. Not what you think this guy thinks is smart or what this chick says is acceptable. They want you and your take and your heart and your beliefs and your values and your voice and your audacity to fucking play full out and go for it. So that is just like a huge revelation I've had for myself in the last few years is like, even how I built last year. I mean, I'm so grateful to Josh and everything we built together. Of course, we had an amazing adventure together for 16 plus years. Yeah. You know what I mean? We've built movements together. We've lived in 13 countries together. We've done amazing things together. And also, I realized even with my JS brand, last year, I outsourced the direction of that because I wanted to coach on identity and personal power. And Josh, he now realizes like, oh, I really shouldn't have said that. And I know he would be fine with me sharing this, but he said to me, people will never buy that. That stuff does not sell online. And I believed that. I was like, well, Josh is really smart and he's very logical and he's very structured. So yeah, I should go back to teaching strategy because that is what people want. And it worked for a few months until all of a sudden I was like, I fucking hate this. Yeah. And I am not at my highest of caliber as a coach when I am teaching on shit that I really don't care about. I can help you with it. I can help you move the needle. But is it where I am truly in my zone of genius? Absolutely not. But when I coach on identity and personal power, when I am in mentorship with someone who is like, hi, I love your style and I want you to gel at me. For anyone listening, Erica knows what this is, but gelling is Jill yelling. And it's what my clients call it. And it's essentially like loving kicks in the pants in service of your highest alignment. Literally? But I'm very direct, you know, like I'm very direct and I'm very no bullshit in how I support people. And so I'm a lethal weapon to the people who are open to that.
They want it.
The ones who are like, yes, I want a kick in the pants. Yes, please gel at me.
You're for me.
I am a lethal weapon for those people because I am in my zone of genius.
I love it.
But that's only because I gave myself the permission to believe I am already fucking smart.
Yes.
And I am already brilliant and I can trust my instincts to build what I want to fucking build.
You want to fucking build, not what somebody else wants you to build. For anyone listening to this, Jill's gelling, when I first met Jill, I was like, oh my God. So the podcast, they were like, you should name the podcast The Loving Bitch Slap. And I didn't call that because I wouldn't say I'm going to lovingly bitch slap you. I mean, although I feel like I would say that, but I never said that. And people were like, it's The Loving Bitch Slap. So Jill's gelling is The Loving Bitch Slap. And
yes,
sister over here, hello, didn't want to do anything because I was like, I'm a stupid Spanish girl. I'm not smart enough. And I have to say, when I did the TED Talk, I feel like that the massive skin shed on the on the fucking stage, but that's still like the little bit is still there. When something I can't work it out, I'm like, oh, if I were smart in my head, I'm like, if I were smart, I could work it out. And it's like, you are smart. You just can't work it out, but you'll figure it out. Like, how stupid, it still comes. So like, I love that you know the belief that the story you were telling yourself, the belief that you had, which then formed the identity as to how you saw yourself, which then forms how you feel, how you show up, what you build, what you create, how much money you make, who you marry, where you live, what your friends, it fucking shapes everything.
Everything. The content you put out there.
My God.
How you support people, how you sell, your sales conversations, your messaging, your positioning, all of it.
Yeah.
Your price points, your boundaries, your standards, who you choose to spend your life with, like literally who you allow in your energy. It is all informed by who you believe yourself to be.
So let's...
And this is so moldable.
I know.
This is why it's like, you can take control of this.
I want to say too, because people don't talk about this and we don't have to go super deep, but support wise, what have you done? What do you do continuously or have you done to heal, work on, process emotionally? Like, I know because you fucking tell me and you're deep in the hole doing your shit. But just as someone's listening, like, what do you guys mean? What do you do? Like, what does it look like to constantly work on your identity and excavate the shit that doesn't serve you, deal with it, process it? Like, what does it look like for you?
So I am a huge thinkatator. Now, I struggle to meditate. Do you know how, like, are you a good meditator, Erica? Because I feel like your brain would be like...
When I do it, I could, but I don't like to... I'm a moving meditation girl. Like yoga or walking or
driving. Same. But so driving. I call that thinkatating. It's like I am processing shit in my head. You know what I mean? And so I am constantly, so I've worked with mentors, obviously. I obviously work with Sydney, who you also work with.
Therapy.
Literally the savior of my life. And so many, she said so many gems to me. I remember the first time she said to me, "It must be hard being this insecure." And I was like,
bitch.
I'm not insecure. And she's like, "Yes, you are." And I was like, "No, I'm not." And she was like, "Yes, you are." And I was like, like, I couldn't even see it. Again, I was in the fucking performative energy. I hadn't stripped away the belief of like, I can be all of myself. And actually, that's the best fucking thing I could do. So where am I not doing that? And so one of my biggest ones was constantly overriding my needs for, well, pretty much anyone in my life, but concretely Josh, for sure.
Yeah.
So, and I've talked about this on my own podcast, like us in our, like, in our divorce and completion of our marriage, like this was a multi-year conversation for us.
Yeah.
And so on that journey, I realized how much I negated my own needs in service of making sure he was happy, he was good, he wasn't stressed, he wasn't, you know, feeling feelings, whatever, right? And I abandoned myself so many times due to that. So Sydney was fantastic at highlighting a lot of shadows for me that I couldn't see. And now that I'm aware of a lot of that, and I have the tools to do a lot of self-reflection, I heavily prioritize that. I also, so I thinkatate a lot. I work with Sydney. I obviously have girlfriends who are deeply growth-minded and self-aware and emotionally intelligent, and I process like a motherfucker with them. So you, my friend Heather, my friend Jade, those are my three go-tos where everyone is like so in tune on different areas of like self-improvement. And so I rely on my friends heavily. I thinkatate. I work with Sydney.
Breath work.
I'm starting to start. Yes, I do a lot of breath work. I do a lot of breath work.
So much.
I work out quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I recently joined a thing called Shadow World. It's by this, what's her name? Felicity. Shit. What's her last name? Fuck. Anyways, her app is called Shadow World. That has opened my eyes to so many just like little threads of like darkness or shadows where I was like, holy shit, I did not even see that one. I love bringing this stuff to light for myself.
You excavate a lot.
I'm a big believer in that.
And
I'm big believer in that.
I think
so
it's important.
Not a lot of people are comfortable with that.
I know, but like it's important that you, and for Sydney's a therapist, like, and Jill told me about her, because can you imagine those that know and listen to the podcast, me getting a therapist? I'm like, they'd be inspired by me. I'm like, I don't want you to be inspired by me. Like, you have to kick my ass. And I'm like, I need to find a therapist who I can respect, no offense, and who's good and who, and it's hard when you are savvy and you do your work and like I'm studying and I've had a lot of fucked up shit and I've had a lot of therapists and, you know, like, you've got your finger on the pulse, Jill, and I've got my finger on the pulse, and I have my finger on everyone else's fucking pulse. So like, if you work with me and your shit ain't on the pulse, I know about it, and then you're gonna know about it, and it's fucking stressful. So like, I was really weary, and until you said that she said that to you, and I was like, okay. Mm. And so my one, when I met with her the first time, was like, you have a lot of frantic energy. And I was like, I'm not frantic. What the fuck are you talking about? I have frantic energy. She's like, no, you have frantic energy, all of that, like, it's frantic. And I was like,
I'm Latina. It's fine. It's part of who I am.
Frantic. Like, what? Like, I'm frantic? What, since fucking when am I frantic? And then I was like, I'm fucking frantic. And then I could not see it. I was like, holy shit. So just in case you're like, what kind of work is this? It's like having a therapist call you out on shit that you are deeply uncomfortable being called out about, you know, journaling, breath work. Doing, if you're into fucking shamanic energy healing or Reiki or counseling or couples work, like whatever it is, it's you not living in your own head by yourself thinking you're going to figure it out. Because no offense, if you don't have the tools or the mentorship or somebody seeing inside your fishbowl, you're not going to see. You think you can pull your little eyeballs outside and you're going to not miss anything. You miss so much, and we're supposed to. And as humans, we're supposed to ask for help and support. And we spend money on fucking Netflix, on our nails, on fucking lashes, on Botox, on bullshit. It's like, spend some fucking money on unpacking the reason why you believe negative shit about yourself and doing actions you're not happy with so that you can have a better fucking life and get better results. And it's excruciating.
Amen to that.
And painful.
It's excruciating and it's worth it.
Hell yeah.
Like, I honestly think this chick who has the Shadow World app, I mean, she's onto something, because she's been doing this stuff for, I don't know how long, a couple of years, I think. She was in business coaching before that. And just even some of the things that she highlights, like I watched one of her videos in that app or wherever it was. And she was talking about how a lot of people say, oh, I have a fear of success, and how that's actually a shadow. It's like, you don't really have a fear of success. Like, if it were to drop into your lap and you were cool with it, then you'd be like, sweet, that was really easy. But why people say they have a fear of success is actually like a shadow wound of wanting sympathy. Yeah. And I was just like, damn, like, I didn't even see that one. Because if you say you have a fear of success, then people don't expect a lot of you. You get sympathy. Oh, I know, I have that too. Or, it's okay, give yourself a break.
Yeah.
You deserve it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You get acknowledgement and validation, which keeps you right where you are in your quote unquote fear of success, which is really just repelling everything you say you fucking want.
Mm. And the therapy hat, I would say, maybe your mom didn't see you, your dad didn't validate you, no one was like, hey, good job, you're doing a great job. So then the little inner you needs to like mother yourself or baby yourself or be like,
for sure,
good job, honey. Good. And yes, good job. And we shouldn't be fucking rough to ourselves. But if we don't even realize that somebody in my life growing up never saw me, so now I want to prove myself, or it wasn't safe for me to be seen, so I have a visibility fucking wound, but I really deeply desire you to see me. But then when you look at me, I'm like, don't look at me. It's like, that's your shit. Like, that's shit to deal with. And like, I don't have any trauma.
Yes.
Who cares if you don't have trauma? Some fucked up shit happened in your childhood, and it 100,000,000% affects your adulthood. It like
100%.
That's fucking wild. We'll have to link that lady's thing in the, if we can find it, we'll link it in the description below. Okay, Jill.
I'll look for her IG as well.
Yes. Okay.
So I am Felicity something.
Felicity. We love you, Felicity. We love the shadow.
She's American. Excuse me. She's Australian too.
Oh, hey. Okay. My Aussie friend.
And she's a manifester.
Oh, so she's like a sister from another mister. You got to get her on your podcast.
Yeah, and she must be an Enneagram 8. This chick is like...
She's our crew.
You think we have strong delivery? Bro, like, this chick has very strong delivery.
Really?
Like, okay, she is like zero fucks in some of the stuff she says. I love her.
So Jill has a podcast, and you have so much coming up and going on, and people are going to be addicted like I was when I met you, and being like, oh my God, I need some gelling in my life. So tell us about the podcast and maybe what you got going on that people can check out. Where can we find you? Where can they connect with you? All the things.
Yeah. The easiest way to connect with me is on Instagram. So I am Jill Stanton is my handle. And then my podcast is Rich, Hot, and Free, because that's the vibe. Yeah. So you can just go to jillstanton.com/podcast. It'll link all the players. And then where I'm going, this is a beautiful like way to kind of tie this all in. So for so long, I thought I had to teach in my coaching brand. And like I would teach sessions. I would teach 3-day workshops, Secret Weapon. I have one coming up called Resurrected, like teaching her first million, teaching what are some of the other ones? Like I taught power. I taught like all these different things, right? And they were live sessions where I'm teaching something. And recently I had such a massive realization. Wait a second. I fucking hate teaching. I hate teaching. I love coaching.
Yes.
I love coaching. I love being able to listen to what you're bringing to me and being able to just like activate. Because even just not to be super woo, but like the things I'm going to list off are going to sound so ridiculous because it's literally all the personality tests. But like I'm a quad right splenic 1-4 manifester, which means I pierce straight through the bullshit. Mm. I'm an Enneagram 8. And I'm on Life Path Numerology 7, which is the truth seeker or the truth teller and the seeker. So I pierce straight through the shit that you are not saying. I hear it and I bring that out in you so that we can remove the stuff that no longer serves you in service of going into your next level of growth, power, and success. So that was a massive realization for me. And the second I realized that, I was like, I'm switching everything.
Yeah.
And so I am prioritizing all coaching offers. I'm not going to teach shit. And so I have a thing called coming up called Savage, which is, I was thinking to myself, like, as I was getting all this new clarity, I was like, well, if I could only ever win, like, what is my favorite style of coaching? And I love voice text coaching. I love being able to just like dish out a kick in the pants and then like send. And so I was like, I'm going to create an entire container around that where people ask me whatever it is that they're struggling with or whatever they need a kick in the pants around or a higher perspective around or a new way of seeing things. And I'm going to fucking gel at people just through voice.
Savage.
They write their fucking question to me and I will gel at them. And that is my whole offer. And I am so excited for it. It feels like the truest thing I've ever fucking built for myself.
Nice.
And then on the front of that, now that I have all this clarity, which is like really, truly allowing myself to prioritize my own wisdom and my own guidance and my own fucking knowing for myself and my brand versus what so-and-so says that you should have this fucking passive this and that. I'm like, I love that for you guys.
Yeah.
I want to know you. I want to work with you. I want to activate. I want to talk to you. I want to coach. I want to like get to the bottom of shit.
Hell yeah.
And so once I realized that, I was like, okay, so how do I sell Savage? If like, if no one understands what gelling is because they're new to my world, well, how can I give them a taste of that? And so then I realized like, I'm going to create something called, I don't know, I'm still trying to work on the name, but maybe it's called On the Verge or Catalyst or something like that. And it is like hot seats essentially. Yeah. And I'm just going to coach for people who are new to my world.
That works as well because people activate. There's a guy named Giovanni that I met through Taki's program once, and he would like email his list and only have, and we did it for a little while, and it was so good. Like 20 spots, I'm going to coach you live. Just come to the call, 20 people only. And then at the end, it's like, if you loved it and you want to keep going, cool. And if not, you're welcome. Thank you for being here. Next. And it was such a great, I love that. I think that that is, okay, so Jill, we're going to put all your things into the link in the show notes, and we 100,000,000% would love for you, if you're listening to this episode, if you got anything from this today, like screenshot, share it, tag us on Instagram, comment below if you're watching on YouTube, or comment if you're on Spotify, any of the places. I wish Apple let you comment. I'm sorry, Apple, level up, do better, innovate.
God damn it, Tim Cook.
But I know, come on, man, what are you doing making a new fucking iPhone?
Read the room.
We want connection and community. I love you so much, and I cannot wait to see you again this year.
When the fuck is that going to be? I'm literally just going to come to Australia. It's getting to that point.
Literally? Yeah. We got this right here, the pink room. This is tu casa. Yeah.
That's where I'm going to stay.
Just like, hey, guys.
Let me in the pink room.
May this episode be some gelling fire in your ass, some loving bitch slap for you too. Fire in your butt cheeks. Only fire allowed. For you to come back into yourself and into your alignment. Jill, I love you. Thank you so much for being here.
I love you so much. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yay, go.